The Entrepreneurs Advocacy presents Street Smart Sales, a combination of personality recognition techniques and physiognomy, a science of communication techniques based on recognizing traits in one's face. The follow-up.
I've just been fascinated by this little segment here. I was remembering back to a guy I knew in 1978 or something like 77, something like that. He was a high school biology teacher, and he had nothing good to say about teaching. He wanted out. He wanted out in the worst way, and every time we were together, I heard about it. The last time I checked, he was still there. So your comment about people feeling stuck, I've seen it. And I realized myself that even though I've had opportunities to do what I'm doing now before, I didn't take it because I didn't think I could do it.
We get set on things. When I speak with all the unemployed people, one thing that amazes me is these people, after being laid off 3, 4, 10 times, they think they're still going to get a job because there's security.
Security, right?
Second.
They think they're going to get another job because the job is security. It's a paycheck.
There's a great, there's a great quote by Helen Keller on security, something on the order of security is an illusion or something like that. And I really thought was neat. I don't remember the whole quote. But
if you find that, email it to me, because that's one that I would like to use. I literally am amazed at what has happened to me. And Louise is one of the few people, Warren and Louise, have known me almost the entire time I've been doing Elite Leads. And I am not the same person I was 14 years ago. Not even close. You know, the basic core, I love helping people. I am very vulnerable to what's going on around me. That's always been there. But the confidence, you know, getting out there and inspiring other people, I had no clue. And this is such a wonderful place for you to learn who you really are, because Elite Leads is what taught me who I am. And I stumbled into this. There's no way I could have created this. If I had even thought this was a business, I couldn't have made it this. So life has a way of working out the best way for you. And if you can take other people who are stuck and other people who, you know, are not happy with their jobs, and just keep dropping those seeds, you know, plant those ideas in people, you never know. It might take 2 years.
So please, make it go faster.
You never know what you can do for people. And I have, you know, I have a stack. I actually have 4 photo albums full of handwritten thank you notes that people have said, because of anything that I said, somehow their life changed. And to me, that is so fulfilling. So when you're out selling, you're not just selling, right? Your responsibility is to that person you're in front of, and I honestly believe not one person comes in front of you that there isn't a darn good reason. It's not just to sell. They come in front of you for a purpose.
But you opened the door here for me again, because my association with you and Elite Leads has not yet transformed my business, but it has radically transformed the way I look at myself, the way I look at my potential, the way I look at the business and where I'm taking it.
You know, physically,
as a result of that, I've met Keith. I'm working with Keith. I never would have thought of myself as a speaker.
Mm-hmm.
But that's going to be a part of what I'm doing now too.
Absolutely. I mean, you have physically changed. When your face is relaxed, you're more vulnerable, friendly, open, and
your hair's on red.
It is Roger. When you first came to Elite Leads, you were very stoic, I think.
Hurt.
Okay, but what that related, I think, is physical appearance was you were not approachable. And, you know, a lot of times we don't realize that other people will feel what it is that we're going through, and so we emit an energy, and just knowing that we can change and being around people. I mean, I probably was doing late leads for, I would say, 3 years before I stopped feeling guilty that I wasn't in the office at 8. I need to find out. So, you know, we have to adapt to the environment. The more we adapt, the more the people around us adapt. Isn't that incredible? Years ago, someone told me that the best way to change your environment is for you to change. So you think about the people that you're around and how the things that they do that you don't appreciate, when you start changing, they have to change. It's so simple. We just make it complicated. So one of my favorite parts of sales is the follow-up. So you know you've done a good job because the rest you bought from you, right? So this is the perfect time for you to come back in the door, and this is where most sales people fail. Sales consultants know that you're back in the door immediately. So years ago, we had an interior decorator that would never even go in on installs. Remember Carol?
Remember, he was doing the decorator.
She would $5,000 worth of window treatments and not show up for the installation. 50% of all the work went back. Because maybe the installer would say, I don't know why she did this. I wouldn't have done it that way. So the owner of the house would go, well, then take it back. And then find someone else who would do it like the way the installer would do it. So the follow-up is so important. Showing up when you're completing the project, showing up afterwards. And then, you know, when you think about how great it is that they actually did business with you, right? You acknowledge them in some way. Some form of thank you, something that you can do to acknowledge that they're part of your life. So you want to be present when the client takes possession or enacts the first transaction. This will allow you to make sure you have a smooth installation. So when I switch merchant services, which I'm going to do again next week, there's this new merchant service company that is out of Santa Cruz, and the salesperson is coming to the meeting on Tuesday, which I think I left the meeting.
Is it the Pay
yes.
Junction?
Yes.
Yeah, he joined? Or
he's coming on Tuesday.
Is he? Oh, okay.
But it's the coolest thing because one service can give you the swipe card, you can do it by cell phone, you can do it on the internet, and all the other companies you have to pay individually for each separate thing. So this is really cool.
I was just about to go set something merchant service up for my website. I just incorporated.
This is
so I need to know
the
these guys.
Least expensive service I've ever seen.
What do you call it?
It's Pay Systems.
Pay Junction.
Junction. Pay Junction.
Yeah.
Now, the thing that's really cool is that he will walk me through the entire process. Because you know how when you have something new? Right, it's a challenge. I don't care how simple it is. It's a challenge. I bought this new cell phone because my cell phone headset stopped working. It was like shorting out, so I bought a new cell phone. And I got this one because it has a speakerphone. And I've read that stupid book 3 times, and I can't figure out how to make the speakerphone work. I keep taking pictures.
You hold the button too long.
Does it have Bluetooth?
No.
That's something I wish I got on, because then you can have one little thing just rest on your ear, and you don't need to be connected to it.
Seeing people walk around with that thing on their ear.
You're fine when you're in the privacy of your home. You want to make a call. You don't want to hold the phone or connect a wire. You
know? I heard my son say those words to my wife when she was trying to make the speakerphone on his word. He said, "You're holding the button too long. You're going to take a picture."
Thank you. See, I knew
the old one
so perfect.
I don't know. I thought it was the same phone, because I haven't seen
it. It could be the same thing.
But if you're pushing the button you're supposed to push, then it doesn't work.
You're taking pictures, yeah.
And then I just discovered yesterday, because somebody said, well, there may be a little separate thing. Well, I found a new place for a new plug. I actually transfer the pictures into my PC. Didn't know that was there.
Sometimes you take a little card out and put in
there. 655, 720, so show them shortcuts or methods that other clients have discovered to be more efficient. You might even log your suggestions for a cheat sheet. I used to make like a bookmark for people that were, you know, specific things, tips on how to make things easier. You know, it's just that little extra thing that you do that makes it a lot better. Use a contrast statement, something like, "I'm so glad you have this installed or using my service now." It will mean that you can start saving $250 a month, or you can save 3 hours a week, or now you can means to buy investment property, or, you know, whatever it is that you're doing. But put something in a quantitative statement that reinforces why they did business with you. Remember, if you sell by emotion only, they'll not stick. 50% of the time, they'll cancel the deal before it's done. If you sell by intellect only, you actually instruct people why they're going to do business with you, you're just educating them and they can go anywhere else. You have to combine the two. Always remember that. Before you walk away, you have to combine the emotion and the intellect. This is when you let your guard down a bit and show your personality. People like doing business with those they enjoy. Make it fun. If somebody thinks back and smiles about doing work with you, it's a long-term relationship. One of the things that I personally found in sales is that I developed my own personality, whether it was personal and in business, to be the same. So before I was in sales, I thought that when you're at the job, you had to be a specific way, and at home you got to relax and be yourself. But that's what keeps people from getting to know you, right? So you have a facade that you erect to keep people in a distance from the professional one, just this way, and let people see who you really are. The best way to avoid buyer's remorse is to have developed a strong relationship from the very beginning. So it starts from the approach call. Staying involved with your client early on will help you avoid disasters. There's nothing worse than making a sale and then having it go sideways. That's just painful.
So what was the missing word?
Involved.
Involved.
When surveyed nationally, management and employees alike revealed that change was the number one most difficult aspect to work with in a business. So anytime you sell anything, someone's going to have to change. How do you make it easier for them? Anything that you can do to make them more comfortable with the new system. Create a reason to do business in the future. Remember, 80% of your business could come from your existing clients or their referrals. Let them know that your business is built on referrals. This is amazing. One referral is worth 20 approach calls.
I don't know if it's specific to financial planning, but I don't think so. And I don't recall the specifics, but one of the things that really makes a difference is referring to them as introductions rather than referrals. And that when people ask for introductions or ask for help, they get a higher success rate or response rate than when they ask for referrals. There's something about the word referrals in the customer's mind that there's some barrier there to people cooperating.
I've never had a challenge asking for referrals.
Okay. Maybe it's specific to financial planning, but when?
I don't know. I think people are so sophisticated in this area that I don't know that it would make a huge difference. Have you ever found that, Louise? Did you get a lot of your business by referral?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, Robert, that is as much as a reluctance to really wanting to sell financial planning, that if you ask for it in one way, you can get a different response, because you think that if you ask for a referral, you won't get that same response. So, you know, it's like sometimes we project something, and that's exactly what we get.
Right, chicken and egg.
Exactly.
Well, I think this came through some of the training material where it was based on having experimented with the same people phrasing their questions different ways, but I don't know the basis for it. So.
Yeah, I'm not sure that you can check, create your own tracking system, you know, whatever works for you. You know, anything that I tell you, you have to develop your own system, your own reaction, your own comfort level. Because I'm such a driver, the way I do things is not going to be the same way that you will do them. So you have to be comfortable with what you're saying. When I started in sales, there was no way I sold to anybody, ever. I would not sell. And I've noticed that even today, I lay out the information to people, and then I do an assumptive close. Right? That's how I like to do business, is an assumptive close, where I do my best job. I go out there, and I figure out what's the easiest for everyone to work with me, and then I assume that you're smart enough to get it. And if you're not, then we probably shouldn't work together anyway. But see, that's the difference in knowing that I've reached this level of success, that I can be picky about who I work with. You know, Bev was talking at the 9 o'clock meeting about one of the previous members that we had. Do you remember Tess Wellborn, management consultant? She did a workshop for us quite a while ago. She was in business for 2 years. And I introduced Bev to Tess, and when Bev called her, Tess said, I have no idea why Sharon would have referred you. I wonder what's going on with her. Now, management consultant, the same people she's working with are the same people that Bev would be working with, and vice versa. So even though she's been through the whole process of elite leads, all of a sudden, she's not the same person. So, you know, I would make the phone call and find out what's really going on with her. And I bet you anything, her business is struggling. I would just, I don't know. Because people get defensive when they're not doing well. So when you hear someone in resistance, you can 90% of the time bet it's because something in their life is not right. Don't take it personally. Never take issue with it. Ask for pertinent information about the referral or the introduction. How do you think they would benefit from using this product or service? You know, if you have more ammunition. I actually was talking to someone yesterday that Warren referred me, and I said that I was given your name by Warren Goshin, and I wanted to call and invite you to our business development meeting. And she says, I don't know who Warren is. I said, well, Warren met you at the Concord Business Breakfast Club. And she said, well, I have no idea who Warren is. I said, well, he does payroll. She says, I don't know who. I mean, she could not get off of that name. It's the first time that's ever happened. And I said, do you remember the person who actually announced everything at BBC? And she goes, oh, yeah. And I said, well, that's who Warren is. Well, then all of a sudden she could hear me, right? So sometimes if you have more information and you kind of ease them into it. So what kind of personality do you think she is?
I guess analytical, but
that's what I was thinking.
But
yeah, you bet.
Now, if that is what you assume, couldn't you have said, well, really, it doesn't matter who Warren is, because I'm trying to tell you that.
She's a linear processor.
It matters to her. It might not matter to me. Yeah. I don't care. Warren just gave me your name. Let's move on.
Right. Yeah.
No.
Warren, no. Well, you wouldn't want to know what Warren said about you anyway, so let me tell you about the service I'm calling about.
You have to appease the person you're talking with, and until they're on the same page at the same time, they will not hear what you're saying. And what amazes me is that if you do this often enough, it becomes second nature. You never have to work at it. You know, it's just like rolling right into it. Okay, I didn't even know she's an analytical. I just kept giving her information until I finally got her to catch up with me. And then it was okay. And then she wanted every single little detail about every single little thing we do in the meeting. And I knew.
Did that drive you crazy?
Of course.
It would drive you crazy.
Well, in your first call with me, you were willing to go through a lot of explanation, and you didn't sound frustrated.
It's years of practice. Years and years of practice. Because I can't make my calls based on me. You know, I cannot do that. I have to base my calls on who I'm talking with. I can't expect them to catch up with me. So it's the practice that makes it easier. You know, and I had someone who was even harder than that on Tuesday, that it was a 25-minute phone call. I could make 10 other dials in that time.
You're just trying to make me feel guilty, right?
There wasn't. We were close to that.
Yeah, probably.
We were close to that. But, you know, I know better. I mean, do I spend a little more time now, or do I just give up? Depending on my mood. I had someone on Tuesday that said, you know what? I know that the chamber has a group that would probably be much better for you. Let me give you the phone number.
Well, probably if someone spends that time with you, then they do have a serious interest. Otherwise, they do waste their time.
Well, not really. I had somebody else that I called somebody gave me a lead for a business broker, and I called him and I said, Jim, I got your name from, you just joined the lead, and he said, oh, great. He said, when is it? And I told him, he said, what time? I told him, where is it? I told him, and he said, count me in. 30 seconds. Stayed up for the 25 minutes.
Yeah.
Did he show up?
It's third Wednesday he's coming. Then he emailed me back and he said, do you have anyone who does executive placement? Because I have a great friend who I just told about you and I want to bring him along. Like this guy. You know, he gets it. You know, he gets involved immediately. I love that.
Driver.
Yeah, Kelly. Who's Kelly? He's in your group. Kelly? Something Kelly. Kelly Klute. Real estate investment person. So, you know, just using the name, okay, comfort level, you know someone I know, and then you move right into the conversation. But understand, when they start pumping you for more information, you've got to step back. Deep breath. Okay, this is where it's going. Allow that to happen naturally. You know, and start thinking about how you could appease their need.
Mm-hmm.
Use a third-party compliment. You know, Warren told me that he really enjoyed meeting you, and he was really anxious to have you part of our group. Now, nothing against Warren, but he would say that about anybody. He loves everybody, right? So I can never go wrong with Warren. He thinks everybody, he used to use, remember Louise Deller? Comes up with different words all the time. So he had a period of a year that everybody was Stellar. It's great. Every sale should reap 2 to 3 referrals. Now, over a course of 1 year, if you only sold to one person a month and each person gave you 2 to 3 referrals, what would that do to your business? Or 100%?
Well, if you close on referral.
Well, referrals.
The easiest.
Easiest. Because they know somebody who's already done business with you.
Right.
So here's my rule of thumb, and this is what comes out of my database. If I use the Yellow Pages to find a commercial moving company, because that's the hardest one for me to get, I have to call 20 moving companies to get someone to join. If someone in Elite Leads refers me to someone, it's 1 in 3. if I meet someone in person at an event, if it's not a chamber, it's one in two. A chamber could be one in 20. I mean, I just can't get in line with chambers for some reason. If I use a directory of a chamber, it's one in five. It's odd that meeting someone in person in the chamber doesn't get me as good a result as if I just use the directory. Don't know why. So all that boiled down comes to one in seven, now one in six. Right, so for years it's been one in eight. So I throw all that in. I rarely use the yellow pages. There's zip2.com that you can just go through all the industries. I throw that into the yellow page category because it's totally cold. But I know that people who join a chamber are more likely to join another organization. That's why it's a lot warmer to use a chamber directory. If I get a referral for someone in Elite Leads, 50% of all my members come from existing members. They introduce me to people they know. Right, so that's my one of my best returns. So if you track what it is that you do, you see how it makes it much easier for you to point yourself in the direction to get the right things. When I started Elite Leads, I actually used to borrow people's business cards. Let me borrow your cards for a week. I need to go to the cards and call everybody. And it works really well. There's a team of people that every card they collect, they copy it, they give me a copy. Out of my database, I copy everything that I put in, I give it to them. And if you're interested in doing that, I'm totally open. And all you do is say, Sharon gave me your name from Elite Leads. They either get it or they don't. And I call and I go, I got your name from Jerry. You know, there's lots of ways that you can make this easier. Mm-hmm. You know, and that works just like a referral. So you don't have to work as hard to get the business that you need. Building long-term relationships with clients takes a lot of effort. Divide the alphabet into 13 sections, and each week call or write a thank you note to each client in that section. I can't do that anymore. There's 10,000 people in my database. You know, it's been over 2,080 people who have been members of Elite Leads over the 14 years. So I can't call everybody. Just can't, because the demand to call new people is so great. But amazingly, I get at least 10 people to recycle every year. Not get in business, and maybe their business slowed down or whatever, but I get people coming back who've been with me before. And somebody, like I gave David a lead, and he went and followed up on it, and she ended up rejoining Elite Leads. She knows I'm here. She could have called me, but she didn't. I could have called her, but I didn't, but just because of that cycling, right? So that's what you want to make sure that you do. Build those long-term relationships. So January, I used to call A's and B's, last name. Right? February, C's and D's. Go through the whole alphabet throughout the year, clean up the database. I haven't done that in 5 years. I need to hire somebody to do that again. Every time you make a sale, you will be making a lifelong friend. I still have coffee with people that I sold to in 1980. I love building these relationships this way. Prepare an in-depth overview covering the points that the client found valuable or difficult. This is where you really gather the information that you know, can help you close your business faster.
So this is for your benefit as opposed to an overview for their benefit?
Really for your benefit. You know, what made sense? What
do you give it to? Are you suggesting you give it to them? Oh, okay.
You can barely use it early.
Oh, you can use it just about found, you know, what my previous client found, right, was this result. You can use that later on that way, but I wouldn't give it to anybody.
Yeah, okay.
It's a great way for you to just gather ammunition. You are in control of your career, your business. You and only you can determine what level of success you will achieve. Now, this is something that's really interesting. I was I used the Henry Ford quote, whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, you're right. Henry Ford didn't say it. Mrs. Ford did. He was struggling with the carburetor, and he got really angry. And she said, Henry, I know you can rebuild that carburetor, whether you think you can or whether you think you can't. You're right. And he used that quote, but he never gave her credit for it. It's actually in his biography. Thank you. You know, I think my brain's still on cruise because I'm sitting here going like...
You still feel the motion?
Yeah, Lewis. Still feeling the motion.
Well, it is wet. That's right.
Funny.
The wind is on the bottom.
Okay, learn from your experience. We talk about this. Jerry, make a log of what worked and what gave you any difficulty. There it is. Please, all of you, get your sales journal. Please, please, please do that. Keep track of what's working. You'll be amazed at how helpful that is. I don't care conversations, what does, doesn't work, how you feel. You know, if you ever feel like someone's attacking you, write it down immediately. What gave you that response? And there are people sometimes, you know, it was so funny on this cruise. And, you know, after we'd do the presentation, people would walk up and they'll go, thank you so much. The information was great. Really appreciated it. It was great. How'd you get on the cruise? And then somebody invariably will come up and say, but you know what? That doesn't work. You know, and the first thing, I don't care who you are, how long you've been speaking, how long you've been doing your job, the first reaction is, what? Defensive. And just take a step back and go, honestly, if it doesn't work for you, I can understand that. But with all the people I've worked with in the past, when they're open to change, it works for them. You know, and it stops people. When you know what you're doing is on target, do not get involved in emotional battle with people. Just don't do it. Write it in your journal, what you said, what you didn't say, what you wanted to say, what you could have said. Sometimes we have the greatest insights an hour later, or the next morning. Oh, if only I said.
And the best way to vent is to do it on paper by yourself rather than to the person.
Absolutely. Never take it personally. You have no idea what people are going through. You know, one of the people on the ship was one of these people that, well, I'll tell you, negative all the way. And my friend Bonnie said, I just don't want to be around them. And I said, I'll tell you, I'm going to make an effort to go figure out what's going on. And I found out this guy's wife had an affair.
That'll do. He was talking about it.
And he would not deal with it. He would not deal with it. He took her on this cruise, but he wouldn't forgive her, and he was punishing her and everybody around him. And so started talking about it. And I said, okay, 26 years they've been married. What's your life going to be without her? How long do you think she's going to put up with this attitude? I wouldn't. I said, bad news, but why do you think she had the affair? Because she wasn't getting what she wanted at home. Somebody else made her feel special. Somebody took the time to listen to her. I said, I'm not judging you by anything you did or did not do, but you have to look inside to see what your responsibility is in this. So I don't care whether it's a sales relationship or whether it's a personal relationship, people base their relationships on previous information that has nothing to do with this. So when you can get people to deal with this moment, this time, there's no fear, there's no anger, there's no mistrust, because this moment's brand new. Isn't it incredible? Mm-hmm. If you're in this moment, you cannot fear or be angry at anything. Amen.
What's the next chapter mixing up?
Well, I got three chapters written in the new book while I was gone, so that's cool. Pretty early on here. Work on developing your skills. Never let up. fine-tune your skills. I talk about this all the time. You know, you're here, which I really appreciate. Listen in the car. Some days are Beethoven days. Some days are sales training materials. Some days are motivational, inspirational. Anything that you can do in the car while you're driving around, take that time and make it work for you. I worked with one of the professors over at Laney College, and he said they actually can track this, that students actually only learn about an hour a day. Right? The rest is all theory or writing or something, but they're only learning 1 hour a day. And he said if you were to take an hour of drive time every day, it would be the equivalent of going to college full time. So what would happen year after year if you did that?
Your brain would get full.
Never too full. We've got 95%, according to some statistics, that we haven't even tapped into yet. So we can just keep filling it up. And it was really cool because on this cruise, I actually realized that I put aside information that was old stuff, and I couldn't even access it anymore. And I replaced it with new stuff that was more relevant. I thought that was so cool because I got that, but it was no longer useful, so I just let it go. So we have a way of bringing information pertinent that's current. So make a promise. If you don't have the information, I'm going to recruit some people and go pick up the library because I now have bookshelves in here. So we'll bring the library back here. 300 books, cassettes, and videos. It's free just like any library to check out stuff. Remember to prepare. Know your product or service, your competition, and what objections might arise. I love objections. It teaches me so much about the people that I'm working with. And depending on what they say, it tells me who they are, how successful they are, what's going on in their life. So when people start objecting, it gives me so much insight. It makes my life so much easier. Be at your very best. Evaluate your mood and your attitude anytime you are around your clients. It's really easy to let the traffic influence you. It's really easy to let a bad rainstorm get in your way. You know, I came in today and my hair was all black. You know, a little wet out there. You just reevaluate your mood. The cool thing is, the whole time I've been doing the late leads, I think I've only missed one day in 14 years, no matter how I felt. And I would bet, Louise, you've never, ever seen me ever give in to, like, pain or suffering or illness or anything. You know, I mean, it's magic. It's like being on stage. When you're in sales, you're on. And if you're going to be in front of someone, you better be on. Nothing that's happening at home, nothing that happened outside that moment counts a thing. 100%. Hey, you're welcome.
The library speaks.
See it from their point of view. Get to know their concerns. I think that's what helped me in the Fortune 500 companies more than anything. Is that I always stepped back and looked at what it was like to be on their side of the desk. Always evaluated it from their side. Get them to take ownership. The more they interact with your product or service, the easier it will be for them to take ownership. Did I say involved? Get them involved. Sorry.
No.
Sorry. Always qualify them early and every opportunity that you can. Never assume they are on the same page you are on. Remember, you're dealing from a knowledge base that they don't have, So you always have to, you know, pre-qualify, re-qualify, confirm that you qualify every step of the way. Remember to use trial closes often. Sure, what's an example of a trial close?
If I remember correctly, like if, remember you said when they're like leaning in or they're doing something like that, you know, to stop what you're doing and just...
So what would you say to somebody? Just leaned in, what would you say?
I would say, do you want to take the application now?
No clue. Would the 30-year fixed?
Right.
Or an adjustable work better for you at this point?
Okay.
So it's an either or. It's a trial close. See, so they got to say one or the other.
Okay, gotcha.
And if I say I don't know, that means you haven't said enough.
Okay.
So you haven't talked them enough about what their choices are.
Gotcha.
All right, so usually you're giving them a yes or a yes. Ask questions and take notes. Sure, what was your first impression of the first elite leads meeting you came to?
First elite leads meeting I came to? It was actually, I was overwhelmed because I've never been in anything like it before. So it's just, it was neat to see how everything worked in a networking group, which was my first experience.
So Jared has the honor of being the youngest member of elite leads.
Woohoo, right.
He's actually going to be starting his own business next week.
Yes. Indeed.
And imagine.
Thank you.
Imagine when this guy hits 40. I mean, he is so far ahead of most people I've ever met at his age.
Thank you. Making me blush.
Well, it's true. Get familiar with all types of closes. Jerry, what's a power statement for you?
Remind me what a power statement is.
Like a unique selling proposition?
You have to wordsmith at the same time. I think the value that I have brought into my coaching clients' lives has been to open them up to things that they hadn't even seen in themselves, such that they were able to achieve the goals we set at the beginning of the contract to achieve in 3 months. They had typically achieved them by the halfway point and so blown past them that we had to set new goals.
So you wouldn't use a think, right? Because that leads it to question. When I work with my clients, typically they achieve more in 6 weeks than they thought they could accomplish in 3 months. Right. So what you do with a statement like that is you appeal to every single personality trait. Do you see how? So you quantify it for the driver. The accomplishment is for the expressive. They're happy. That's the amiable. All right. And the logic of it. All right. The logic of that statement is that we're working together. We accomplish this together.
Could you repeat that so I can see the whole pattern again? Clients.
I have no idea.
That's exactly what I was afraid of.
I have no idea. We can rewind.
My clients achieve in 6 weeks what they thought they would do in 3 months.
I have no idea sometimes where this stuff comes from.
Please just repeat what he said.
Narrowing it down. But it's the way you wordsmith it. That's what makes the impact. So, Jerry, if you had said it the way you did, you would have lost the driver.
Yeah, I told you you didn't have to.
But when you put these things together, make a list of your unique selling propositions. make the list so that, you know, when you're talking to someone who is an expressive, what are you going to say, and know this ahead of time. That's why the next page, the exercise, and I really want you to work on this for January.
What did you say the expressive saw in that statement?
It's the win-win.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the expressives love to win. Building their empire, creating, you know, large picture, visionary things. So, God, if I'm an expressive and I can accomplish in 6 weeks what I thought it would take me 3 months, that's a real win-win. At the same time, that still appeals to the driver. So the problem with using a lot of words is you'll lose the driver. The expressive won't figure it out, right? You have to be very clear on the success for the expressive. The amiable would have gotten that. They'd be right there with you the whole time. If you've never noticed, you can talk to Warren and Louise until you have no words left. And they'll be with you 100%. You're a little bit like that. Although, you've got something that distracts you from actually following the conversation. So you're thinking about what you're going to say. And that's something I'd like to challenge you to work on is stop the chatter. Really focus on this moment rather than, you know, the chatter all the time. You'll notice Warren has a really difficult time being in this moment. Right? He's a little on the ADD side. So if I give Warren this, he's on the last page filling in the answers before we've even started. He has a really hard time staying in this moment. The challenge that people have is that you miss important clues when you're in sales by constantly thinking, what am I going to say, what am I going to say? And it's an exercise to back off and not say anything, not think anything until they're done. Because you'll miss really important clues. And I promise you, it's not as hard as it seems. I mean, I was always doing that, always.
To me, it seems natural to just evaluate as you're hearing to be evaluating.
Step back and wait until they're done. Don't go anywhere because you'll miss it when you think, oh, this is how I'm going to defend that or this is how I'm going to support that. And they go off in a different direction. You're answering back here and they've already gone way ahead of you. So
people
wait until they're done.
Active listening.
Yeah. It's really important that you understand that when you're talking with somebody that you think you're going to do business with, that you want to make sure that you're on the same page with them. You have to make them comfortable. That it's not, you know, oh, this is what I said last time. This is what I should say because that's what I'm told. Right? Wait until they're done. And then be with them. Well, good job. Thank you all.
Yeah.
Don't forget your homework.
Thank you.